story of the century, dude.
Welcome to a special Tales from DC Multiverse, the podcast episode. It's another Superman supplemental installment. And as always, I'm your host, Adam. And with me for these supplemental episodes is our international correspondent, Stephen. Stephen, how's it going?
I'm doing very well. In fact, I'm doing super because it's Superman. So.
Well, that was very, very well. Very well said. A little on the cheesy side, but that's how we roll here. Pizza will be served at 12 noon.
You can't be a bit of cheese when it comes to Superman.
Sometimes in moderation, the cheese is good. Not Batman and Robin level cheese.
Yeah.
But, you know, in moderation, it's good. Unless you're lacking
just a little bit.
Then I can't help you. This is not a dietary contest. So we're talking about Superman, but I thought we'd cover a bit of, as of this recording, breaking news, Stephen. So I think we were talking about last week or last episode, not last week, but last episode.
It was last week for us.
Well, we recorded last week.
Yeah.
The space in between them hearing it is not last week. Unless I release it that way, then I've just betrayed my own commentary. last episode we talked about Brandon Roth playing the Kingdom Come version of Superman.
Yeah.
We have new casting and we have a schedule for how the Arrowverse crossover, Crisis on Infinite Earths, is going to play out. So I'll read the schedule first and then we'll talk about the latest casting announcement. So the first episode is on Sunday, December 8th at 8 o'clock. It's going to be Supergirl.
That ties into Superman?
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, they're related, so I would hope that, you know, the Superman actors appear in this one. Episode 2 will be Batwoman on Monday, December 9th. Episode 3 will be The Flash on Tuesday, December 10th. And then the crossover continues with Arrow on Tuesday, January 14th. And the crossover ends with DC's Legends of Tomorrow on Tuesday, January 14th at 9 p.m.
Cool.
So the crossover is going to start in 2019 and end in 2020.
It's interesting, isn't it? Interesting choice.
So we will get, we may get Superman in both this year, 2019, and 2020.
Sounds good to me.
We didn't think we were going to get any Superman until God knows when, which is partly what we're here to talk about, but we'll get to that in a second.
Aren't we getting Red Sun next year, the animated film?
I meant live action.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's not no slight to the animated.
No.
Because they're.
But we want both.
They're keeping Superman alive. In multimedia, aside from the comic books. The casting front. Two things we know that some. Actors from Black Lightning, which will be part of this crossover. So this is Black Lightning's introduction into the DC CW multiverse because they've been off on their own little, you know, island for the last 2 years. So that's interesting. But even better than that is that it's been announced that, to here, I want to give it a proper introduction. The legendary voice actor, legendary Batman voice actor, Kevin Conroy, who's been in Batman the Animated Series, Batman Beyond, Justice League, Unlimited, The Arkham games.
It was on Brave and the Bold as well as Batman from that.
Yeah, a different universe.
What was that, that weird coloured one? Lots of, I can't remember his name now.
Yeah,
Zarenzar or something weird.
Yeah. And he's been in the Arkham game. So he, I think it's officially safe to say that he's the longest serving Batman actor in the history of Batman actors.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so he has been cast to play an older version of Bruce Wayne himself. The article describes him as Bruce Wayne from the future. So
is that intentional wording, do you think?
Are you asking if I think he's Bruce Wayne from Batman Beyond?
Or a version of that, yeah.
That very well could be. But, you know, see, here's the problem. If they do that, which they very well might, I'm going to talk about myself like I'm The Rock in the third person. If they do that, Adam's going to get very excited and want a Batman Beyond live action spinoff.
True.
And Adam's not going to get that because they no. just
on the card. It'd be too expensive, wouldn't it?
And then Adam's going to get very upset. So it's a double-edged sword. But I'm overall, first and foremost, I'm very excited because for me, if we're including non-live action versions of Batman on a list, which I'll probably post on Twitter after this podcast now, Kevin Conroy is the top of the list.
Think he's top of the list anyway, even if you include live action ones.
Well, fair enough. But I just tried to delineate. But now if we're including...
I know you mean.
If we're including, you know...
Well, live action after anything, this.
Yeah. So he might be on the list now. Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh. And we're getting Bruce Wayne on Titans. So
he's all over the place.
Lots of Bruce Wayne. Yeah.
It's Batman Palooza over here, which I'm not opposed to at all. But for me, Kevin Conroy, his voice, and Batman the Animated Series, outside of the comic books, are the ideal version of Batman for me. That includes live action film. That includes, you know. So outside of the comics, that's the best depiction of Batman for me.
So I agree with you.
I'm over the moon. So how about you?
Yeah, when I saw this, I was buzzing. In fact, I messaged you quickly after, didn't I? Because
yeah,
I couldn't believe it. I just felt like
I almost choked on my food as I.
Well, I read it on Instagram first, and I thought, oh, is this a load of like made up talk?
Yeah, this is some jackass trying to get some views.
Because we did get that website that shall not be named said Tom Welling was confirmed. So there's people who actually think Tom Welling was confirmed.
Oh, you mean Cosmic Book some crap? Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't gonna. Give
I'll do it. Cosmic Book crap. That's what it's called.
Beep it out. Beep it out.
Like imagine if Thanos took a shit. The result would be that website, but continue.
It's funny, actually, because, sorry, just to segue on that, I put something about one of their articles on Twitter, and the guy from the website messaged me, and he said, we do get some stuff right, and I'm all like, what have you got right then? And he never replied. So.
Yeah, well, but I mean, that's a law of averages. If you throw enough shit against the wall.
Exactly.
Something's bound to stick, right? So.
Exactly. It's like this crossover, isn't it? I mean, you could have guessed a lot of the potential, you know, stars who were going to be in it. Like, I think you could have maybe guessed Ralph was coming back as Superman and got, you know what I mean? But you could have also said all the Supermans and you'd have still been right by one of them, wouldn't you? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, my thing is, okay, now here's the thing. And I definitely want to get your further opinion on Conroy. But with Conroy now appearing in live action, can we officially say that if Welling is asked and he doesn't do it, can we all agree that he's a jackass and move on? Like, if he's asked and refuses, at this point, this is probably his only chance he's going to get on.
See, my personal opinion on Tom Welling is there's a way to bring him back without putting him in a Superman suit, and you know, because if you don't want, I can understand him not wanting to wear like spots. Especially now he don't look like.
But here's my thing. I get what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But the hardcore Smallville fans, are dying to see this guy in a costume.
Yeah.
It's like a fetish for them. Like, you know, it has to happen for them. So now you can hit the gym, look, hit the gym, whatever. Do whatever you do. I can imagine if he still had intentions of having a decent career, you know, and he was worried about typecasting. His career is virtually over. Let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, in front of the camera, anyway. I can see him maybe doing well behind. Yeah,
exactly. So there's no need to worry about typecasting anymore.
I'm not ever convinced it was always that, though, more so much as he just didn't feel comfortable putting on a suit.
Well, you know what I mean? Well, in one interview, he intimated that he was worried about typecasting. And that was
well. Thing is, he got typecast anyway.
Yeah, as the guy who played Superman never wore the suit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know which one I'd rather be typecast as.
See, there's always the Ultraman option because he played Ultraman on Smallville, and Ultraman got redeemed, didn't he, by Clark?
Sure.
Season 10, I think it was. So you could always bring him back as Ultraman, and Ultraman don't have to wear a costume. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that'd be kind of lame in a sense, but. I'll tell you now, right? I think the only way you're going to see Tom Welling back or some of the other characters is if they use some sort of archive footage and like splice them into like a big battle at the end or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like they're just coming through portals or whatever from other worlds, and it's like they just like land or whatever, but it's like footage from the old shows. Because you could maybe see something like that, couldn't you, at the end? Cameo City, do you know what I mean?
yeah, for sure. Like the Flash is running. The Flash is running through there. Yeah, I still don't think we're gonna see him.
I don't either.
If it's ever gonna happen, it's gonna be this right here.
Oh yeah, and
My plea to the universe is that if it doesn't happen, can we all just move on?
I agree with you.
But back to what like so.
Yeah, what, sorry. Yeah. So Kevin Conroy, I think it's brilliant because I always thought there's always. I've always thought the way to bring him in to a live-action universe as Batman was to always have him be an older version. Because I remember saying years ago when I thought, oh, they should have done something with him. If they ever made Batman Beyond, they could potentially look at Kevin. I mean, I'm not saying they should do, but potentially look at Kevin, you know, as the option for Bruce Wayne, which probably won't happen in a film, but maybe in a TV show or something. And my thought, I actually started thinking about Kingdom Come, you know, because obviously Brennan Ross playing a Kingdom Come-type Superman. Do you have this guy be as Bruce Wayne was in that, where he was like a recluse in the cave, wanting to control like these robots who did the work?
Oh, so you're saying he might be Kingdom Come Bruce Wayne?
Potentially, not necessarily, because I don't think they're ever going to go straight to comics and be like, this is this version. But I think they'll do like a version of that, if that makes
right.
sense.
Right? Yeah.
So he might not necessarily be from the Kingdom Come world, or he could be.
But
he might be like a version of Batman who is an older one. Maybe he never got Terry McGinnis, you know, as his protege. Maybe.
So you're thinking, do you think, going by your premise, do you think he could potentially be from the same Earth as Brandon Roth Superman?
Yeah. All right. Don't know how you feel about that. But.
I think it'd be incredible. Look, either way,
Some good banter as well, couldn't you, between them?
Oh, that would be, as long as one doesn't start saying, do you bleed, or Martha, or any of that kind of garbage. But, but no, I'm, whether it's a version of Kingdom Come, a version of Batman Beyond, hell, to me, they can have him in the Batcave with Burt Ward, and they can hold him up.
Ooh, that's a good thought.
And say he's the Adam West version of Batman, Hell, they can make him Bruce Wayne returns to Gotham for the crossover, and he's Batwoman's Bruce Wayne. I don't care which Bruce Wayne he is. To me, the fact that he's there just brings a smile to my face. And like I said, can this crossover happen now? And like tomorrow, and I can watch it on a loop from now until... you know, the end of time, because it's sounding phenomenal. So I'm super excited.
I just hope they're not trying to do too much, because
well, there's five episodes, right? And
well, that's why I keep thinking there's plenty of time. But we need to keep our expectations in check a little, I think.
Oh, most definitely. But I
it's
think
like Flash, like I say, Flash 1990 always gives me pause for thought, because even though the moments we got him in were really good, there wasn't enough of him, in my opinion.
No, I think what you do, I think ideally what you do is have each of the characters that are coming in, like the guest spots, have their main moments in the corresponding episode that best fits their character. So in the case of Bruce Wayne, it'd probably be the Batwoman episode.
Yeah.
If it's the case of Brandon Routh Superman, it'd be the Supergirl episode where he gets predominantly the lion's share of his big moments. You know, and then for the big battle, they're sprinkled through or whatever. But that's how I would play it, personally.
You know the crossover, the first one they did, Invasion?
Yeah.
They tried to make every episode like still an episode of its show, didn't they? In a sense.
Yeah, my thing is just don't do that.
Yeah, because they didn't do it. Like, I think the best crossover has been Crisis on Earth X. I don't know if you agree. And that was just like four parts of the same story.
Yeah.
I think they need to do, which I would get maybe put in more Brandon Routh Superman in the Supergirl or Legend ep and more of the Kevin Conroy in the Batwoman ep, sorry. I would understand that still, but you can still do it without making it feel like it's
all
separate. Yeah.
Oh, sure, but, for sure.
Because I envision a position maybe in the... Because there's going to be a massive battle, isn't there, in the last episode. There's got to be.
Yeah, otherwise...
Maybe Kevin Conroy is going to be like the general in the Batcave, you know, back
yes,
in the orders.
Yeah, that's what I thought too, yeah.
Yeah, so that'd be cool.
So many possibilities, so many good ideas. I
You think too, if he and Brandon Routh Superman are from the same Earth, maybe they sacrifice themselves to save, like, to stop some or give the heroes of the, you know, the what Earth are they on Earth? What Earth one in it, yeah. The heroes of that Earth the chance to, you know, go and save the day or whatever.
Well, I don't think everybody knowing the CW, they'll probably want to keep at least Kevin Conroy around just in case. You know,
yeah, maybe.
That would be their out to say, hey, we can have Bruce Wayne, but it doesn't have to be Batman, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas with Brandon Routh, he's pulling double duty for this. As much as I don't want to see Superman die, he's probably gone.
Yeah, and I'd be okay with that. I'd rather they killed off him than Tyler Superman.
Oh yeah, no, but it's gotta be done. It's gotta be done in a meaningful way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. For me, like the best death in any of them was Stein in Crisis on Earth X.
Oh yeah.
Which that was like quite emotional to watch because you'd obviously watched that character for a long time. So they almost need to take some lessons from that, but. My worry is as well is they don't like to take away the limelight from the main show, the stars of the main shows, and I understand that. But are we going to have... Because I wonder if they're going to introduce the Red Skies and stuff, you know, and have people, you know, people's Earths dying. So my worry is, do they do that and then we see their Earths dying, that's their moment. So they're in like a couple of minute cameo and then the Earth gets swallowed by a Red... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it'd be really cheap if it's they're the length of the Flash 90 cameo.
Yeah.
That was a missed opportunity. Big time.
It was. I mean, I think the opening scene with Flash 99, it was incredible. You know, when he ran off from the monitor on his own.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, the moments were good. It just didn't last long enough.
Sure.
And I didn't like how we kind of just went and then they all just got on with everything. They didn't like, oh, where the hell's he gone and stuff. There was like no reaction, was there? So they need to learn a lesson.
You know,
from
I hope
well.
He comes back. I hope he comes back at some point. And he's like, what the hell, you bastards? You know, nobody came to look for me. I had to find my own way back.
Well, I almost wondered, did he die or did he get sent back to his own Earth?
Maybe he got sent back, is what I'm hoping.
Because I have a bit of a theory that when the monitor tests the Earth, that he actually maybe restores them afterwards.
Could be.
And don't destroy him, but they leak. Because he ran off, didn't he, before he got to finish his work, so...
Yeah. I'd love to find out, but...
Let's just hope it delivers anyway. Have you heard the cat use the Superman theme as well? John Williams.
They're going to use it?
No, they can't. They're not allowed. Not legally, can't use it. Apparently, I think it was Matt Guggenheim who said. Don't know, something about legalities. I don't know if maybe they ain't got, you know, at least like a buddy Warner Brothers.
Yeah, but Smallville used it.
Yeah, but I don't know if they had a special, like...
Krypton is using it.
Well, you know, it probably is more. They probably don't want to pay John Williams some money. apparently the reason Krypton's been able to get away with it is because they've rescored it or something and done the done okay. slightly different or something.
That's fair, so then why don't they do the same thing there?
Well, makes you wonder, doesn't it? They're just cheaper. Is that the thing they're cheaping out on because they're spending so much money on it already?
Or, you know what'd be cool? I say screw it and do it. it's very underused. Use the animated series.
Oh yeah, that'd be awesome.
Rework the animated version.
I mean, they could try and create something similar that's not.
Can you imagine they use the Man of Steel one? I know a certain segment of fans would be pissed off.
There would be such a meltdown. I mean, I saw a post today on Twitter about something about how Warner Brothers let TV shows do what they want and not movies. It's like, yeah, because it's less of a risk. And the TV shows have actually got a built-in like audience that love these shows and they're not turning off the general public, are they? It's completely different.
What do you mean? They're letting the TV do what?
Well, basically, people are moaning, like, in Snyderholics, let's say, are moaning because Zack Snyder wasn't able to finish his 5-film arc yet. The TV show can seem to do what they want yet.
Because the TV show doesn't repulse 3/4 of its audience.
Exactly.
Of the general
and
audience.
The TV shows don't get to everything they want because they wanted to use Ted Kord and they got told no. They wanted to use Hal Jordan and they got told no. So they don't get everything they want.
But they're telling more digestible stories for the mass audience,
And if they want to do something darker as well, now they can do it because they've built these shows up so long.
Yeah.
And they haven't betrayed what's like part of the core like storyline or the store core characters. They've just basically gone in and gone, right, we'll establish your characters and then we can start telling darker stories. And we have had darker stories in the CW, we've lost a lot of good characters, and I mean mainly sometimes because actors want to leave, but sometimes even just like Black Canary, the original one, she got killed, didn't she, which was a bit of a shock. So
yeah, well, I'm excited either way, and I like I said, the lead up to December is going to be fantastic. I can't wait till we start seeing pictures. Seeing Brandon Roth in the Superman suit again is going to be phenomenal. Like, bring it on.
I can't wait. Can't wait. It's going to be super.
It is. Agreed. Get the cheese grater out and then just pour it on. All right. With that bit of news out of the way, what is our main discussion point for this evening? Yeah.
Well, I believe we are going to do some pitching. And yes. If Warner Brothers want to listen, that'll be fantastic.
Yeah. Not baseball pitching, but.
No, pitching for Superman. Pitching, yeah. Yeah. Superman movie pitching. So
yeah.
I think we said we were going to do... are we just going to do several short pitches and just basically...
Yeah, our thought... Okay, so basically what we're going to do is our thoughts on what the next Superman film or film series, if we were put in charge by the good folks at Warner Bros., what would we do with it? And go from there. So,
yeah.
What would Steven, if Walter Hamada said, came to you and said, "Look, Steven, I don't know what the hell to do with this Superman thing. You know, fix it or help me." What would you do?
Well, first thing I'd do is call you.
Okay.
Well, I probably would call you.
We'll co-write this thing. Yeah.
So I would very much make a Metropolis-based story now and do something that's a bit more... I'm trying to think of the word about so I don't get bashed by Snyder fans. A bit more traditional without going... I'm not going to remake Superman the movie, but I'm going to go back to the traditional Superman, which is, for me, the one from the comics. And most notably, like, the Burn era. Maybe just after the Burn era, actually, when it was taken over by... Was it... God, what was his name? His name escapes me.
Mark Waid, you talking about Birthright?
No, not Mark. I don't mean the origin. I mean like when John Byrne, because John Byrne left, didn't he, after Superman killed Zod? And then he got taken over by I'm forgetting his name.
I can't remember. Jurgens?
Jurgens. Dan Jurgens. That's it. Yeah. God. Oh, do you remember? Yeah. So it goes right back to those kind of stories. And I'd very much do, in fact, even what Geoff Johns has done, you know, with like, when me and you have talked before, haven't we, about taking the second half of Secret Origin. And
yeah, yeah. Wait, don't steal my thunder. Yeah.
But I would very much, because I've said before about doing something like a Metropolis-based story where he takes on either Metallowan the Parasite or just one of Metallowan the Parasite.
Yeah.
Do something like that, a bit more grounded. You know, you could probably keep your budget in check a bit more with that as well. And then I would lay the seeds for bringing in Brainiac into a sequel. Because I know a lot of people want Brainiac next, but I'd probably just wait and do something a bit more grounded and more in line with, like I say, that second half of Secret Origin. And yeah, you'd have like Lex Luthor creating Parasite and Metallo, but and sort of have it like a triple threat against Superman. He has to overcome the odds. And
yeah,
and I think if you want to kind of, I'd leave it vague about if it's a sequel to the recent iteration, and just make a Superman film. Don't think about too much, you know. If you want to say Lex got out of prison and because he got out because he said the kryptonite, you know, just like little bits of dialogue.
Yeah, but those are generalities that you can yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and it's something that says the audience will go, oh, so Lex Luthor was in prison, but now he's out, or they'll go, oh, yeah, he was in prison and now he's out because I loved those previous films. To sort of leave it a bit vague in that respect.
Yeah.
And this might be my most controversial thing, but I would totally bring back the Williams theme because I think audience members want to hear that when they watch a Superman film.
Yeah.
Personally. And I would bring back Henry Cavill if I wanted to do it. If not, no biggie. Move on, get someone else.
All right.
So that's kind of like a brief pitch. I mean, I've got other pitches for other things, but we can talk about those after.
Yeah, well, I'll give you a pitch for a trilogy, and then you can go off of what I said and chime in with your own.
All right, okay, cool.
All right, so my presumption is I'm dealing in a world of semi-factual information. So as unfortunate as it is because I like the man, I'm assuming that Henry Cavill is done playing Superman.
Yeah.
So mine would be on the presumption that it's being recast. So I've rebooted. There would be no leftover continuity from Man of Steel, BVS, or Justice League. What I would do in the first film, it'd be a three-film arc to start. I'm not going to plan a five in advance or this and that. I have ideas for after the third, but that's...
It's not going to be a five-film arc.
Well, you know, you never want to put the cart before the horse. Because, you know, when problems arise. But in my first film, it would be I would use as inspiration. I wouldn't do a straight-up adaptation, but an inspiration. Superman Secret Origin by Geoff Johns. Now, I would limit the origin sequencing to the opening credits. What I would do is something similar to along the lines of The Incredible Hulk.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea, yeah.
Spider-Man 2 or even Superman 2. So along those lines. In Secret Origin, to me, I look at it aesthetically. It has the Donner vibe with the crystal and all that stuff. Which, look, at this point, that's been adopted in comics and in other forms of TV and media. So that's canon now. It's not just a Donner thing. And if they want to, in the flashback sequences, go back to the crystal kind of motif, I'm fine with it.
Maybe they could do what they've done on Krypton and kind of do a mixture.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's what they did in the comic, right? Like,
yeah,
so,
they also did it in Superman Unbound, didn't they? It was a mixture of like,
yeah, like
different Krypton and
in the comic, it was a mix of in Secret Origin, it was a hybrid of Donner and
yeah.
Birthright. So
Personally, I love the crystals. I'm a big fan of it all.
Yeah. So I would welcome that the return of the crystals if that's the way they chose. The only thing what I would do is you'd show, you know, the basics of the origin in flashback. You know, Jor-El getting rejected. He plans the course for the ship, puts baby Kal-El on the ship, and off he goes. Planet gets destroyed, and then, you know, ramp up with the full blown credits and theme as Superman is traveling through space. But what I would limit from the Secret Origin aspect is the mention of Zod. Look, no offense to Zod, I love the character, but in terms of I love what they're doing with him on Krypton, especially. But in terms of a movie, I have zero interest in seeing Zod again for at least the next handful of film or trilogy of films.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Let him rest. So I'd eliminate the Zod portion of that. And the other basic idea I would take is I would even leave out Parasite because to me, the goal for this film is to keep the budget a little bit lower and sort of win back the audience's trust regarding Superman. And win back the mass market appeal. So what I would do is I'd have Lex pulling the strings in the background, so you still see him, and he's creating, and he creates Metallo, like he does in that comic, to confront Superman.
So would you have John Corbin be like an ex-soldier that works for Lex or something, then he gets something happens and he has to.
Yeah,
and Lex, basically.
And Lex saves him via giving him a kryptonite.
Yeah, I like that, yeah.
So that would be the first film, Superman versus Metallo, basically. Then I'd continue that trend in borrowing from Geoff Johns' work, and the sequel would involve Superman's Secret Origins. Not Secret Origins, sorry, Superman Brainiac.
I wonder what I'm thinking, eh? You just done that.
Yeah. I'm retreading. No. Superman Brainiac is what I would do.
Great book.
Show that. And, you know, whether you include Supergirl or not is a whole ball of wax, depending on if they do a super, like, depend if a Supergirl movie happens, then maybe you might want to include her. If not, then leave her out. But the general idea of Superman Brainiac would pretty much that the majority of that story would stay intact.
In your pitch, would the Supergirl movie have already happened? That they're developing.
Okay. In terms of my made up history for the effect of this pitch to work, let's say that it does happen.
And is it based on what you said before that Stay Super? What's it called, that book again?
Being Super.
Being Super. That's it. Yeah, not Staying Super.
Yeah. So
you could bring her in, really, couldn't you? With the way.
So what I would do is, if it happens, I said, like, to me, the Supergirl film should end the way the book ends, with her flying upwards and basically you see from her point of view the back of Superman, and then the camera passes to her and says, and when she says to him, "I think we need to talk," right?
And are we having the yellow S on the back of the cape as well?
In my world, yeah.
Yeah, same here.
any filmmaker that says it's too hard to do, I'd slap him in the office, slap him in the face. But with a crystal prop too, just for good measure. So that would be the end of the Supergirl film. Then what I would do is play out the Superman secret origin film, and then at the end of that, have it sync up with the ending of the Supergirl film.
So that
same moment would play out from Superman's perspective. Okay.
Yeah.
So then. Superman Brainiac, which would be the sequel, opens up with you know, Superman, and we see Superman and Kara getting to know each other, going on, you know, adventures together, like really, really bonding. And here's where we get more of a history of the updated version of Krypton, where Superman starts learning more things, maybe, and this is where you could save you know, the like holographic Jor-El and all that kind of stuff. You could put that stuff in here. And then Brainiac attacks, and pretty much the events play out like they did in that book. Almost pretty much verbatim. I even like the way they did of the death of Jonathan Kent in that.
Yeah, it was good, yeah.
So I keep the same. All the while, Lex is watching this unfold, this Brainiac attack and this and that. And he's plotting to use it to his advantage, which sets up the third film, where after all the devastation caused by, and again, don't over, like, you know, when you're showing the devastation that Brainiac causes and all the chaos, do so, but do so in a way where it's not endless destruction porn.
Yeah.
And it's sequences after sequences of buildings being destroyed and with no break in between for the audience to breathe. So there's a way to do it where it doesn't overtire the audience. But in the third film, Lex uses what happened in the second as a platform to run for presidency. And his mission is for something like that alien attack to prevent that from ever happening. And Lex as president will have a lot of Trump rhetoric. So, you know,
would there be a collusion with Russia?
well, he would talk about collusion. Like his whole thing was that, you know, he's manufactured evidence that maybe Superman was colluding with Brainiac. And, you know, so you'd play up.
I like that.
You'd play up on the collusion, but he'd make Superman look bad, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Superman was part of this invasion or part of this attack. And so there'd be a lot of Trumpian rhetoric, but Lex would be smart. You don't want to make him as stupid as actual Trump, because Trump to me is a hybrid of Otis and Lex Luthor from Superman the movie. That's what I would do for the third film, President Lex, and the idea that, you know, what would that be like for Superman? Because then you can have this movie where there's a ton of action, but at the same time you have the meaningful, you know, echoes of what's going on today at the same time.
Yeah, I like it.
Right? And then the end of the third film would be Lex being elected as president. So,
all right, yeah, that's cool.
And then, you know what that would set up?
I do, and you can go to it.
That's a perfect segue to bring in Batman and do a loose adaptation of Superman, Batman, Public Enemies.
And you can bring back Metallo, can't you?
Right, which is the story that, the story that they should have done if they wanted to do a Batman.
Totally Superman. Agree.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
That's my pitch.
You're hired. It's some money cleared.
And just so everybody knows, in my three films, no necks were snapped during the making of that film or the writing of that treatment. And there we are. So anything you want to add to that or counterpunch?
Well, I always had this idea of doing a Superman film. You know, I pitched you my first film. Well, I always had this idea of the next film being based off of, you know, the main man episodes of Superman the Animated Series of Lobo.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But instead of being hired by whoever that thing was, I can't remember his name now, like the borrower or whatever it was called. It's Mongol, and he wants to bring Superman to Warworld, and he's going to double-cross Lobo. And so it's basically the main man episodes, but instead of him trying to get Superman to take him to it's the collector, isn't it? That's it. The collector's thing. He actually takes into Warworld, and then Mongol double crosses Lobo, and then Superman and Lobo kind of escape. And I thought that could actually set up a solo Lobo film then, which I see, which is a bit of a segue from Superman.
Look at you doing all this world building here. spin off here. Look at this.
I see it as a possibility to introduce the Green Lantern Corps, and you actually introduce Guy Gardner, and he's running a bar like on an alien planet somewhere, and you have it so he can use his ring still, like, you know, to make constructs and punch people, but he's actually been like suspended from the Green Lantern Corps. And then what we have is we have Lobo, we have people chasing Lobo throughout the film, and it's all these like, it's like a bit of a, like almost like a heist movie, but Lobo's the prize and everyone's after Lobo. And Guy Gardner has to he gets told he can rejoin the Green Lantern Corps if he arrests Lobo, and he ends up fighting Lobo in the bar. And I thought it'd be cool if he made like one of the constructs he makes is Superman, and Superman punches Lobo and stuff like that. And then my idea is that when they obviously end up sort of like teaming up, the Lobo and Guy Gardner, because he has to reluctant team up because all these people are trying to kill Lobo because they want the bounty on his head. And I thought it'd be cool if at the end Guy Gardner actually lets him go and don't get to rejoin the Green Lantern Corps. But that's how you introduce like the Green Lantern Corps to the world, and then you could spin that off and do Guy Gardner going back to Oa or something. I've had that idea for ages, that one. I thought it could be like a reluctant buddy cop film, and I thought it'd be quite, you could make it quite funny as well, because Lobo's quite funny anyway, isn't he?
Oh, like for
language
sure.
And stuff, yeah. And then going back to Superman, I would do the Brainiac story in the third film, which is what I've, which is similar to yours really, but the Geoff Johns thing, yeah. So that was my that's my sort of trilogy pitch. It's very brief, obviously, but with a Lobo spin-off.
Well, you've included a Lobo spin-off and Green Lantern.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, but it's
you've done a five. You've done a five film arc. I did a four. So, I mean, in between the both of us, we could come up with a compromise.
We probably could, yeah. I mean, my only idea to introduce Guy Gardner is to introduce the concept of the Green Lantern Corps in the, you know, in that universe.
So you like Guy Gardner? Is he your favorite? Is he your favorite?
No, he isn't at all, actually. But I just think him and Lobo, what a recipe for like humor that would be, and like action and.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah,
they bounce off each other so well, and I think because he's like a suspended Green Lantern, you know, he's not allowed back on Oa because we can say that he did something. That sort of sets up the idea of the Green Lantern Corps, and then you can reintroduce the Green Lanterns in the Green Lantern movie.
I see.
You get what I mean, yeah?
Yes, yeah.
But I just think Lobo and Guy Gardner, what a recipe that would be, just for like...
Oh, that would be hilarious. And, you're right, that would be hilarious.
I'm surprised it hasn't been done, like looking back at it.
We are dealing with that here, so...
Yeah. So that's my like pitch for that sort of trilogy. But another idea I thought is if they don't want to go back to Superman straight away, they could do the Legion of Superheroes and have a young Superman and, you know, maybe just do what the animated series did in the first one where they need to bring, they're bringing Back to the Future to take on the Fatal Five because they can't handle him, and then they go back too far.
You're talking about instead of doing a Superman, straight up Superman, start with a Legion? Movie.
With a young Superman.
I think I like that idea as an option as well, but I have a feeling that the mandate's going to be keep the budget low or lower.
Oh, so, yeah, I do too, but I almost feel like Legion of Superheroes, would they be tempted to spend a bit more because they're taking a concept out on that, and you're almost like, you're putting Superman in there to kind of give them that, you know, that shine of that familiar character, but it's also like a brand new.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Hey, look. There's no. I've always said, and this is my mandate. To me, if we're talking about a Legion, I think you can do a Legion film for $150 million.
Oh yeah, easily.
I mean, even if you stretch it to 175, which was Guardians. Then it's doable. So yeah, I mean that could work too. If I'm a betting man, I'm gonna say that they focus on solo Superman and not.
Yeah, I probably think they would, but at the same time, I'm thinking Legion of Superheroes, right? You could appeal to families. You could.
Definitely it could work. Yeah.
I know you kind of. We don't want to always say this kind of thing, but think of the toys they could make from it as well and stuff and.
Oh yeah, there's no denying that the idea could work.
Yeah.
I just think that right now, where Warner Bros. Headspace is at.
I totally agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah, the major concern will be, let's focus on rehabilitating these guys solo, and then, but it's an option, and it could, like I said, it could. It could it could very well be doable for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
But is there anything else you wanted to add, or?
Not really. No, I mean, obviously we could go on. You know, if they want to do an Elseworlds, they could look at doing something like Red Sun or.
Oh sure, so yeah.
There's a lot of different.
What we'll do? Here's what we'll do, Steve. How about this? We'll save the potential Elseworlds discussion, like Elseworlds live action film. Once we've seen Joker and see how that does and how Warner Brothers is going to proceed, then we'll
talking
about potential Elseworlds movies.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah.
So
there's loads of different options, isn't there? Yeah,
So we'll table that discussion for now. But so besides that, anything else or?
I always did have an idea for something that you'd probably cry when I first say it, but a Smallville trilogy, you know, going back to recreate that magic, but in like a 3-film arc. And I was thinking like the third film, you have like the villain be the Eradicator and he has to defeat the Eradicator to become like Superman in a sense. And I'd probably kill Lana off in the second film or something. I'd do something a bit controversial like that. But
now you've got my attention.
But think about doing that, obviously keeping it more, not as dramatic and more, a little bit more action oriented. Think about how little a budget you could do those films for. And
a lot of it's already established. Yeah. But look, here's what I'll close on, and then we'll wrap this up. But just to go off of your Smallville idea, look, there's this misconception on the internet that I somehow hate Smallville or hate Tom Welling. That's not the case at all. I have a love-hate relationship with Smallville, which is when they got the episodes right, man, did they get it right. You know, so the legacy episodes, the other DC character episodes, you know, the developing the power episodes, the core important, you know, mythology episodes, let's call them, Smallville got very right. They also gave us the best live action Lex Luthor and the best live action Lois Lane. I loved the Daily Planet because it was kind of a riff off the Superman Returns Daily Planet, which it's not actually, you know, the New York Daily News, which is nice. So there's a lot of, and Smallville showed that you can do Superman in a then modern context, still have Donnerisms and still make it work.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I thought that, you know, Tom Welling was decent to solid as Clark Kent, as that version of Clark Kent. I don't think we got enough of the dual persona Clark Kent for me to make a full-on judgment call. Because a lot of the times, even when he was with Lois and was wearing the glasses by, I think, season 9, right?
Yeah, season 10 more, actually.
Yeah, okay, so it was his version of Clark with a pair of glasses on. There wasn't much differentiation there, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Although, you know, when he went to the future and met himself?
Yeah.
That was
liked more. If he would have done more of that in present day, he would have got even more favorable reviews from me.
Yeah.
But again, decent to solid as his version of Clark Kent. My issues come around for other things that are outside of his performance. I mean, sometimes his performance stunk depending on the episode. But you can say that about any of the actors when the episode was a piss poor, you know, freak of the week one-off.
Like vampires.
Yeah. I mean, everybody sucked in those episodes.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You can't really blame him. But my point is, yes, am I hard on certain things Smallville did? And sometimes am I hard on Welling? Yeah. But by no means do I hate him or the show. So I just want to make that clear. What I hate is some of the, you know, how the fandom reacts with his obsession of trying to force the guy into being Superman when he said that he doesn't want. That's where, and look, what I'm 100% down for is what the cast wants, and that's the animated Smallville season 11. They want to do animated movies based on that. You know, the directed DC animated movies. And I'm 100% on board with that idea. So.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
So sign me up for that, for sure. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. But
I only tease you, Adam.
No, I know, but the perception out there beyond us teasing each other is out there that, or some people think I hate Smallville, and that's just not the case. So to prove that, what we'll do is we'll finish off season 10 like we originally planned way back when. If you're interested, we'll do maybe some of the season 11 comics as well.
Yeah, I think I've got the first two volumes of that, but I am intending to track down the rest. So
yeah, cool.
Give me a reason to get them.
All right, perfect. Sounds good. Yeah. But I think that'll bring this one to a close, Stephen. So yeah. If people want to continue talking either Crisis on Infinite Earths or your Superman pitch, where can they do that?
You can contact me at SteveBob1984 for that, and I'll chat about superheroes, Superman, just about anything on there.
Awesome. And if you want to talk to me and talk about my trilogy or quadrology or whatever the heck the name is, you can do that at Superhero Sci-Fi on Twitter. And if Facebook is more your thing, then go to Tales from DC Multiverse, the podcast Facebook group, where either Travis, Ryan, myself will add you once you request admittance to the group, and we can continue talking there. Until next time, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Whether you're listening to it on a weekend or a weekday. And as we leave you, we advise you to look up in the sky and stay super.
Stay super.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.